Eagle 98.1.
Tiger Zone here on Eagle 98.1, brought to you by LeBaron's Baton Rouge, starting tomorrow. All new members will get with a My Choice card, get their choice of a free slot play, a free bet, or free food credit within the first 48 hours of your new membership. I'm going to go into our chat on YouTube.
Okay.
Here's one that I like. It says, it's not really a question, it's a statement, but I can turn it into one. It says, please no more read option. If the quarterback's not much of a threat to run, to pull it, and there were at least one or two times where it appeared from my vantage point that there was room to run, then you're better off going with some kind of stretch play or, oh, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, just pitch the ball to running back, not necessarily pitch.
Toss dive.
But if you're going to run, get the ball in the running back's hands a little bit faster. Yeah. The quarterback has to be some threat to run. I'm not saying he's got to be Steve Young, but he's got to have some threat to run.
I like the pistol. I just like in between, you know, in the A gap, right? Yeah. Play action. He's comfortable there. The most confidence that he showed is that three-step drop. And setting his feet and delivering it there, I like him a whole lot better than I'm. Same thing with the zone read to the right. If you're going to run the zone read and have that mesh point, he's not a threat to the right. Everybody's going to, you know, nobody's going to account for him in the run game. I'm with you there.
Bayou Bengals says, what position group will have the most improvement after week one, not counting Stingley's return?
Defensive backfield. I mean,
but you can't not count Stingley's return.
You're playing a true freshman group. You were playing a bandit package in which your defensive line was Andre Anthony, Jacoby Stevens at a three tech. You had Ali Gay at one side and name a Travez Moore on the other side. There were times that you had no defensive lineman and times you had one defensive lineman on the football field. You're going to have to play with your 2D tackles and get back to probably more base personnel against Vanderbilt. You didn't really play any base except maybe in goal line situation, short yardage goal line.
Can I go the other way and just say that the group I'm most concerned about from week one to week two is the offensive line? I had my concerns before. Now, if Rosenthal is not going to play, which is what Ogeron insinuated during his show tonight, then you're at a left tackle. You're asking, it's an SEC game. I know it's Vanderbilt, but they had their moments last week against A&M. Now, you're talking about a kid who didn't really play at all, okay? I think the last time they had an offensive lineman have to go on the road and make a start that hadn't played at all was Chasen Hines at Auburn, and he actually played really well that day. But it's harder to play tackle. I'm officially concerned about that.
Where Vanderbilt was bad last year, they were bad in the back end. Now, nobody could guard LSU last year.
Right.
But I mean, they had some players on the defensive front, and it just turned into a track meet. And we know that Derek Mason, historically, they've been decent on defense, right? And they got after Texas A&M. How many times do you want me to say it? A&M returned 17 starters and a quarterback from a year ago. They returned Isaiah Spiller, who we all thought was going to be a pretty good back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Vanderbilt, with a freshman, true freshman quarterback on the road, they're hanging around late in the fourth quarter in this football game.
Stuttering Bob says LSU's defense is better than last year, so Mississippi State's offense must be better than LSU's offense from last year. That quote is kind of hung around on Ogeron, who at times maybe is a little bit, I think Scott Woodward said it in regard to some of the coaches. Sometimes coaches are a little too candid, which I'm fine with that. Okay, he did say it. He thought that the defense was better. It may be what he's more comfortable with. It is not better. And not today, for sure.
No. And again, you saw your nickel and dime package without Derek Stingley. I mean, it's some of it, right? I what I keep going back to is this, is that I think LSU went out there and said, we're going to do what we do well. The heck with what they do. When all of the film and the research on how to handle air raid offense is the direct opposite. You can mix it and you can get after them. And obviously there was some big time feast plays and there were a lot of hurries and a lot of pressures on Costello being a new quarterback, but you're young, raw, and you got a kid. Evans didn't make the flip chart. He didn't make the flip card and his technique he struggled in this football game. Let's call it what it is.
Sterling says it seems like a lack of depth with this team. Especially on the O-line, the offensive line depth, can this be fixed in the next 1 to 2 years? The depth on the offensive line, it seems like it can go south in a hurry. So last year, you had going into camp, I want to say 17 offensive linemen, scholarship offensive linemen. And the year that Ogeron took over, I think they started camp with 9 or 10. So they had done a good job of building the depth. And then, well, what happens to you? Lloyd Cushenberry goes pro early. Sadiq Charles goes pro early. You get an injury to Cordell Thomas, who was a top recruit and basically didn't practice until the very end of the year. You get an injury to Thomas Perry, who was another guy that they had recruited and hoped to work into the two deep. It doesn't work either. Cole Smith started the game at center for Mississippi State. He was an LSU recruit. He was on campus. He transferred out. He had some off-the-field stuff. But it can go in a hurry, okay? And then all of a sudden, you got to go start looking for a transfer, and you get the transfer. But you get one or two guys hurt, and all of a sudden, you know, you start looking at people that haven't played. And Cam Wire was, like I said, a pretty well-recruited guy, but he hasn't played. Dumberville, Marlon Martinez are guys that they love for the future, but they've been on campus, you know, for, what, 3 months? And offensive linemen need more time than that to develop. So it's amazing how quickly it can go south on you, Gordy, because last year that was something that we had talked about so many times. More linemen, more linemen, more linemen, because they had gotten so thin, and he built it back up. And it's like, oh, look, there's 17 guys, and then you come back here, bada-bing, bada-bang, a couple guys go pro, one guy transfers out, two guys get hurt, and bummer.
Look, he's recruited well. They've recruited well on both lines, and that's something that's a change from the Miles era. You know, I go back to Florida years ago, and one of, you know, we had all those games at Florida. We had all freshmen on the football field. LSU had all freshmen up on the football field at one time in an SEC football game, pivotal SEC football game against Florida.
And then what was the game? Was it the first game or the second game of the two in a row where, and this is the defensive line, but Locketeur and Gilmore played the whole game?
Yeah, no,
and
that's
it was,
right.
It was an afternoon game, and they played about 75 to 80 snaps a piece, and at the end of the game, looked like they had been run through the corn picker. I mean, it was tough. They've done a better job of that. This particular group has taken some hits. Who is the actual number two quarterback? Okay, so actually, he talked about that today, and here's what Ogeron had to say about that.
Those guys. I mean, really. I mean, Max came in and TJ came in and worked hard. Both of them are able to go in the game. It all depends what defense we're going to see. It all depends what type of game it is. But right now, both of them are capable of going in the game, and I don't think they'll do very well.
Well, this was such a good answer for him, and I'll tell you why. Because he didn't answer the question. He did a very good job of not answering the question. When you get two quarterbacks in the same class, we've seen this happen so many times. As soon as you announce that one's ahead of the other one, then the second guy's out the door, okay? Or at least starts looking out the door. We've seen that. I'm not talking about just at LSU. We're talking about across college football. Go into the transfer portal any day, and you're going to see a whole bunch of quarterbacks that fell behind somebody that was their age or younger. So he hasn't actually said the official depth chart has a TJ Finley or Max Johnson on it. And he just says there, it depends on the defense. It doesn't depend on the defense. He knows. He's just not going to tell you, and I wouldn't either. I thought he did a great job of playing defense on that question.
Yeah, and look, I'll talk about it now because I saw the scrimmages, and I didn't want to say anything before, you know, before the first football game. What I will tell you is they rotated both of these guys with the twos, as you would expect. Sure. And what I was really impressed with is that I think Max Johnson's a little bit better athlete than I thought he was. And TJ Finley was much more accurate than what the film I remember 2 years ago at him at Ponchatoula. That being said, the thing that jumped out at me in the first scrimmage especially, I thought both of them were more decisive with their decision, throwing the football and making decisions than Miles was. Now, Miles made a lot of improvement to the second scrimmage from the first scrimmage. And I'm not calling for, you know, I mean, it's sure. they're in all the film and all. But I think both of them are capable, if called upon, to come on and play. I like the way that they performed in these scrimmages. Now, they're true freshmen, and it is what it is. You wind up putting them in the SEC. But I think it is relatively close. Now, does he know he's going to put in? Does Steve and those guys know they put in? Absolutely.
He runs this pretty well. You remember when Burrow first got here? And Ogeron played up the competition all throughout the camp to the point where they got down, I think it was 10 days before the opener. And he said, well, to this point in camp, we've had, and it was a ridiculous number because it was just completely, it was an odd number. It was like, you know, we've had 927 snaps in camp so far, and Burrow's taken 465 with the ones, and Brennan's taken 464 or whatever. It was within one snap, and it was over 900 snaps or whatever, just to keep them. But now this was a couple of weeks after he had lost McMillan and Narcisse, so he was very conscious of, hey, two quarterbacks on scholarship, anybody else to leave. Well, right now he wants both of those guys engaged, and there's no reason that either one of them has to play anytime soon unless Brennan gets hurt. So, like I said, I thought that was really savvy what he did there.
What you mean he didn't say what was on his mind and just come out and say it?
Yeah, well, if you come out, right? Once you give a name, then you kind of committed.
You
know,
look, once you win a national title, you can come out and you can speak your mind, right?
James wants to know why they're not running the same plays from last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, and I mean, some of the plays are the same. Why no motion, right? And I think why some of the, like we talked about, some of the choice routes where it seemed like to me, it was more simplified. And I'm guessing because you have a new quarterback in there.
Brian wants to know, how did Mo Hampton play Saturday?
I thought Mo Hampton played all right. I mean, there were some missed tackles in the secondary.
There was one missed tackle that he usually takes very good angles when we've seen him. There was one where he missed a play that cost him about 30 yards.
The one that jumped out was a Kylan Hill touchdown, in which you had obviously the Todd Harris missed
tackle.
That's
on Harris, yeah.
And he had also three loafs. You know what a loaf is when you don't hustle?
Yeah.
There were three loafs on that play where people thought that Harris had them and they weren't running. They weren't running full speed, and it was an uh-oh moment, and guess what? It was too late.
That's a bad look in the film room. That's when you want to hide under the desk if you get caught in that one. 499-9898 is the number, or get with us in the Bayou Ford chat, either on YouTube or Facebook. This is the Tiger Zone, presented by LeBears on Eagle 98.1.
Demco members, sign up today for Co-op Connections. This exclusive free program offers members incredible discounts on everyday expenses. Use the app or website to find local deals on dining and retail. Find national offers for family fun, business services, travel, tickets, insurance, and groceries. Live healthier with discounts on pharmacy, dental, and vision services. Even earn up to 20% cash back when shopping at over 2,000 online retailers. Sign up today at Demco.org. Demco, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative.
Smart decisions bring the biggest returns, like the 2020 GMC Sierra, built on a foundation of professional-grade engineering that brings a strong performance year after year, offering the world's first available multi-pro tailgate. This tailgate takes innovation to the next level with six distinct functions that let you load, unload, and access the cargo box quicker and easier. Test drive a 2020 GMC Sierra today and experience a wise investment that really delivers. Visit your Bayou GMC dealer.
At GMFS Mortgage, they've been changing lives for over 21 years. And because of what we've all been through, they've changed the way that they serve you as well, whether it's on the phone, on Zoom, or socially distancing in one of their many offices. That's right. They have a whole bunch of them all around Baton Rouge. Their local mortgage experts can help you buy, build, renovate, or refinance whichever way you are most comfortable with. Go to gmfsmortgage.com and take advantage of the historically low interest rates. That could change your life today. That's gmfsmortgage.com.
Patients throughout South Louisiana are turning to Clark Integrated Medical Clinics. Former LSU wide receiver Dr. Scott Clark and his team offer comprehensive medical, rehab, and chiropractic services to help you live your best life. Get better, faster. Visit ClarkIntegrated.com.
ACI Facility Support provides facility maintenance and construction services for hundreds of clients in South Louisiana. Visit ACI Facility Support today to find out why they are the preferred choice. One call can solve all of your building problems. Contact ACI Facility Support, 383-3434.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
School goes on.
And Staples has everything your student needs to learn from anywhere.
Notebooks to sanitizer, laptops to project boards.
And all at amazing prices. This week, 10 packs of Crayola fine tip markers and Staples exclusives Crayola 12-pack markers and 12-pack colored pencils with sharpener are just 97 cents each.
Shop in-store, pick up curbside, or order online.
School on, save on at Staples.
Ends 10-10 while supplies last. Limit 30 in-store. Limits vary online. Curbside available in most stores.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-384-3434. 800-384-3434. 800-384-3434.
Eagle 98.1.
And we're back here on the Tiger Zone. Charles Handgriff, Gordy Rush, taking your questions in both the YouTube chat and our Facebook page. We're brought to you by L'Auberge Baton Rouge. 25% off all lunch specials Monday through Thursday at both the Bon Ton Buffet and the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill for all active or veteran military or those over 50 years of age. 25% off of all your lunch or dinner purchases during normal business hours. That's at L'Auberge Baton Rouge. All right, we've been in the YouTube chat. Let's switch over to Facebook. Now you got some questions there.
Oh, first off, you know, so a question. Of course, I'm not ready for you. Miles' arm was hit on the first interception, and McMath was wide open for a touchdown. That play, if pocket's clean, no question.
Yeah, it was.
You saw the TV cut on that, right?
Yes. It's a walk-in touchdown. Wide open.
Wesley Randall, O wanted to be more aggressive attacking defense. That's what we did. 5 sacks and 4 turnovers. I feel why, you know, Pelini didn't come out of man. Yeah, exactly. I think the touchdown by Jabril Cox was a little bit of fool's gold. I mean, it put some pressure on him. He threw the mesh route behind the receiver. He made
Cox
a nice play.
Makes a nice play
and catches that. And you just can't do that the whole game. That becomes my point of that. And also, you know, when you're running that tempo, that pace, it's designed to wear you down. And I can't say enough, Charlie, the whole mentality of a defensive back, and I'm playing bump and run, and they just lull you. They run mesh, they run mesh, they run mesh, they run mesh, they run mesh and go. And you get used to it, and it's tough. And it becomes you haven't played 60 plays like that under that sort of scrutiny. There was one other in here that said, hey, do you think that here we go. Does LSU need to commit to running the football for our stable running backs? No question.
Yeah.
That was one of the strengths of this team coming in. And, you know, look, you've got some skilled people at receiver, but you've got Curry, who proved to have a nice game against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's not one of, let's not confuse them with being one of the best defenses, a top-tier SEC defense. But then you also have 2 4-stars, 5-stars, whatever Emory and Davis are, that are beasts. I mean, they're fantastic football players. You got to get them going.
I don't think there's any question about it. This was Ogeron talking about that a little bit, that he's talking about the offense and talking about Brennan's day, and we get to the running part.
Yes, especially the first half. It didn't look like, you know, we dropped ball, we weren't protecting, we couldn't get any third down. Nobody, it looked like nobody was open. Miles was holding the ball. No excuses, man. We got to get better. And the execution was not there, no question. I think it was a combination of both, to be honest with you. There were some guys, too many guys free, so that's protection. But there were some times where he could have stood in the pocket and got rid of the ball a little bit quicker, and he didn't do it. And so I think it was a combination of both of them.
And I thought it was on the back end of that where he said we need to run the football a little bit more.
No question.
This is a different
has
clip.
To run the football. And look, you know, I don't want to make this a Miles bash-a-thon, right? And so
no,
there were things,
that things.
There was things he did well, right? And obviously he hit some big passes, and he stepped up in the pocket at times and he hit receivers and they dropped the ball. Marshall dropped that slant in between zones that nobody dropped, right, a year ago. Yeah. Emery, the ball was a little bit behind him. There was a little dump down. There were balls to be caught out there. Gilbert, you know, dropped the ball. And so there was enough to clean up all around offensively. I think I go from this, and everybody wants to post the statistics and what have you. Did you feel more comfortable about the quarterback position after Joe Burrow's performance against Miami and Arlington or Miles Brennan's performance against Mississippi State?
How did I feel right after the game? I can tell you how I felt after each one of those games. I can't tell you that it's fair to compare the two performances. When Burrow quarterbacked that game against Miami, in which the stats were very, very modest,
right,
I felt so much better by the quarterback position because of, and I'm sorry, it had been so bad for 4 years. I mean, it had just been absolutely atrocious. And I thought, okay, this kid can play a little bit. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, great or anything, but it's just, hey, listen, he's got a little bit of something to him. Maybe he can get the offense going a little bit. The second thing is, how do I feel after Brennan's performance? Well, I don't feel like they're better at the quarterback position, but I really have tried my best not to compare him to Burrow. It's simply not fair.
I think my point is that I don't think you can look at the statistic line because the games were different.
Very different.
A little bit. The games were different, and Burrow didn't have to come out and wing the football.
Special teams killed Miami that
absolutely
night.
And defense. There was a pick six as well in that game. And so, like, I think we're just there's improvement offensively around the board that needs to be made, right? And let's stop the quarterback comparisons. I'm with you, and I think it's important to point out the offense scored 24 points in that game.
Yeah, well, the offense scored 24 points in this game, if you want to get right
down
to
it. No, 24 in this one.
Oh, in this game. You're talking about this
one. I'm talking about the Mississippi State game.
I thought you were talking
about that. And then we had one other question, and look, I'm not crazy about the hurry and the goal line in which you line up quick and you give it to the back, and it worked more times than it did last year. I'm just a huge fan of I love spreading the football field down in the red zone. Give yourself a whole lot of space, and it creates better running lanes. And you force – especially if you go five wides, you're going to put one or two people in limbo, right? They either got to go cover Eric Gilbert or they got to commit to the run game. And Miles can key on somebody like that and hand off the football.
Can I ask it a different way? I just thought of it like this.
Yep.
What if to open the 2018 season, LSU would have had this game and Miles Brennan would have had this game? The year that they opened up against Miami and Dallas, they opened up with this game. What do you think the post-game reaction would have been? Because I think I know. It would have been, damn, we lost, but we found a quarterback.
He
threw for 345 today. I mean, back then, throwing for 345 was like you just found Johnny Unitas.
Right.
But now it doesn't feel like that. If you send Brennan up to play Miami and they have this exact game and they lose by this exact score with this exact stat line, the first call of the post game would have been, Hanegriff, I know we lost and we made some mistakes, but we found a quarterback.
Yeah, you look, and somebody writes in, you got to love Go Tigers. It's a ballsy name in the Tiger Zone in the YouTube huddle.
That's unique.
You know, the defense lost the game. I can't still believe people are blaming Brennan. There was enough to go around. Mississippi State was a better football team. They executed at a higher level on both sides of the football in this game. So there was enough blame to go around. State was a better team on Saturday.
Here's a question from Alex. I read where Corey Foreman was in Baton Rouge last Saturday. Would not be surprised if he was. And Julie says, I hope prospective recruits aren't scared away. In the time that I've covered recruiting, and I don't cover day-to-day the way I did 20-some-odd years ago, but from every recruit I've ever seen, you almost never see a game result make their top 10 reasons for doing something. And if it was just about winning every game, then what? Only a handful of teams would get all the recruits. If you ever see something where a prospect goes in, team doesn't play well, first thing that goes through his mind is, I can play earlier.
Yeah, that side comes out. And then the other side, everybody's talking about the loss because it was a loss. 11-19, pretty good football players.
Yeah.
I don't know where you talk to Detillier more than I do, but I'm not an NFL analyst, but they're going in rarely, if not the first. They're going pretty high. I mean, there's some impressive football. Stevens obviously is in that box as well. Front seven, by and large, playing that defense. I was pleased with the way the front seven played.
Recruiting, in my experience, overwhelmingly about two things: relationship with the coaches and geography.
Yeah,
those two things went out way more than. And then I would add, when I say relationships, I'm talking about relationships with the player and the coaches and the parents and the coaches. Okay, relationships and geography.
Yep.
I would put 1 and 1A, and everything else is. It falls by the wayside. Occasionally, you got a girlfriend that's going somewhere or a brother that's going somewhere, and you want to follow them. But most of the time, it's geography and it's relationships.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. And look, I mean, look at Maryland. Look at the kids, what happened to LSU with Maryland last year.
We'll take a break. We'll take a look at what happened in the SEC this past weekend because we get – nothing but conference games this year. You don't get to skip anything. It's not, they're playing the Citadel this week. We can skip over that one. No. Nothing but conference games. We'll do that next. This is the Tiger Zone on Eagle 98.1.
Crawler Supply Company would like to thank you for your support over the years. We are happy to announce that we are officially your full-line New Holland agriculture dealer. Give us a call at 225-357-7515. Crawler Supply Company in New Holland, your partners in the agriculture industry.
Hey, it's Gordy Rush for Gulf Coast Bank. You may need cash when you least expect it. Why not let Gulf Coast Bank help you get started with a savings account today? Stop by one of their convenient branches, call a banker, or go online. Gulf Coast Bank, the bank that cares about you. Member FDIC.
Lentz, Louisiana Ear, Nose, Throat, and Sinus. 13 well-known specialists have joined forces. We are your comprehensive ear, nose, and acute illness experts featuring same-day office visits. What separates us is our in-house balance center, allergy department, and audiology lab, featuring 6 locations in the area, including St. Francisville, Zachary, and Denham Springs. Visit us online at LentzMedicalGroup.com. Lentz, L-E-N-T-S. We are your local ENT and experts in sinus surgery.
Take your skills to the next level with a degree in construction management at ITI Technical College. Contact ITI to enroll in our Construction Management Associate in Occupational Studies degree program here at our campus located on Airline Highway in Baton Rouge. Learn to plan, coordinate, budget, and supervise construction projects and collaborate with engineers and architects in the residential, commercial, industrial, and heavy civil construction industry sectors. We're affordable. You'll fit in and work with some of the best instructors in their field of expertise. And financial aid is available to those who qualify. ITI Technical College. Begin your journey to a better life. For more information about graduation rates, the median debt of students who complete the program, and other important information, please visit our website, www.iticollege.edu/disclosures.htm.
Discover a place where legends are made, where ordinary checks itself at the door, and unforgettable experiences are around every corner. Discover L'Auberge Baton Rouge. Unique dining, the hottest games, and the coolest rooftop pool around. Make your moment legendary at L'Auberge Baton Rouge. Exit at Blue Bonnet off I-10. See My Choice Center for details. Must be 21 Winter Casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
WCK Foundation Repair, locally owned and operated, has been in business over 25 years. Engineers agree WCK uses the best repair method for Louisiana's unique soil conditions. Rely on WCK to provide a solid standard with friendly local professionals. Interest-free financing available. WCK Foundation Repair.
WCK Foundation Repair. WCK.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bon dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from
from Guatemala. I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Eu no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vin too.
Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com to start learning a new language today. That's BABBEL.com.
Eagle 98.1.
Good Auburn, Kentucky. All right. Okay. Who's the A&M guy?
This is a Tiger Zone, Eagle 98.1.
All right.
Scoreboard from last week is what we wanted to talk about. We got a little bit caught up with the game here during the break. So the early games in the league last week, Georgia really struggled in the first half. Now, Georgia's gone through multiple quarterback. I'm going to just call them quarterback scenarios this offseason. So first it was going to be Jamie Newman, and then he opted out. Then it was going to be JT Daniels if he got cleared. And then he got cleared by the NCAA, but he didn't get cleared by the doctor, so he wasn't ready. So then it was DeJuan Mathis, and Mathis went out and just stunk up Fayetteville in the first half. So they yank him with a 7-5 score, and they put in the law firm of J. Stetson Bennett the IV.
Yes, I love him.
And the law firm did well in the second half, and Georgia pulled away. Arkansas doesn't have enough. I'm here to tell you that JT Daniels is going to get his shot very, very quickly. And seeing what Kirby Smart has said, but to play Auburn this week, and you know, man, I see Georgia and Auburn playing football, and I'm thinking, man, it's time to do shopping for Thanksgiving dinner. But not this year.
And we're usually that's right. It's after our Alabama game.
Yeah, so. it's always late. But Georgia didn't look very good, but Arkansas looked better because my expectations of Arkansas were beneath the floor, and they hung around for a half. So I think that you're going to see JT Daniels quickly this week.
Well, no question. I mean, this football game, because if not, with Bo Nix and Auburn, with him returning, that's a difference maker. Obviously, you know, they did some good things against Kentucky offensively with Chad Morris in there. And Kevin Steele's one of the best in the conference defensive coordinator-wise. If you don't have good quarterback play, he's going to take away that Georgia running game. So I'm with you 100%. I think you see Daniels in this one.
Now, Bo Nix's stat line looks good. He threw 3 touchdown passes. He didn't throw any interceptions. Auburn pulled away in the second half and won the game by 16 points. But Kentucky made some big mistakes. Mm-hmm. They made the one that would have been a pick six right before the half. They got kind of bailed out on the targeting penalty. They had another turnover in Auburn territory. 2 of the 3 touchdown passes that Nix threw, Seth Williams flat out bailed him out. Okay, one of them he goes up the ladder in between 2 defenders and makes an unbelievable catch, and the other one is a fade route where he's behind the defensive back and the ball is underthrown, and he reaches over the defensive back and makes the catch in front of the defensive back and pulls the ball back over his head. The defensive back by the name of Kelvin Joseph, by the way. So neither one of these balls was particularly well thrown, but give him credit for that. What surprised me the most is Auburn couldn't run the football.
Yes, and that was the question with Whitlow going away, and he was out of there. It was a question mark. The question mark they were having at the running back position, and what was Morris going to do? And back when, you know, when Molson was there, the key, and when he won, they were able to run the football, and the quarterback was able to run. Well, Nix could run a little bit, and so that was my question going into the season, and they had lost their entire offensive line.
I just figure LSU, Alabama, and Auburn are just going to churn out running backs.
No.
Every year you're going to have a guy that's going to play professional football.
You should.
Right.
Look at LSU's. You got to feel good about 2 of those 3 winding up on an NFL roster currently on LSU's.
So I was surprised that they were not able to run the football better. So you're Kyle Trask, right, for Florida, and you throw 6 touchdown passes, throw for 416 yards, and you can't even get a lousy SEC Player of the Week award because of what Costello did.
Right.
But they hung half 100 on Lane. But this was an entertaining football game because what I saw Lane Kiffin do reminded me a great deal of what he did with Jalen Hurts as a freshman at Alabama. The offense had a lot of horizontal to it, and they would go side to side, but they were effective with it.
Mm-hmm.
They were comfortable with it. It was a low-risk, high-reward type of deal, and they've got some guys who could make some plays. And Corral, I thought, excellent. It looked like he was very, very comfortable in what they asked him to do. So much so that Rice Plumlee ended up in the game as, I don't want to say a decoy, but as a second quarterback just in the game, and they split him out. They lined him on the back. They did all kind of things with him. So Ole Miss is going to be fun to watch because Kiffin is Kiffin. And Playboy Marty, he's getting ready to do Dear Mr. Fantasy here in a little
bit.
Love
that show.
If you're Ole Miss, they're going to score points. You're not going to stop many people. I'm thinking overs with Ole Miss.
No, I'm with you. You knew that was going to be the case. You knew Ole Miss was bad on defense. It's going to take some time for them to recruit and get some players in there.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee and South Carolina was maybe the most back-and-forth game. Not terribly well played. Nothing exciting as far as the monster plays or things like that. You don't see a whole lot of stars out there. But these are two programs that are, in my opinion, basically even. If they played 10 times, I could see each team winning five. But there's a different feel because Tennessee finished last year so good. And there's a feeling that Tennessee is on the way up and South Carolina's coach is on the way out. And I don't know that that either one is necessarily 100% true because, again, I watched most of this game while we were doing post game, and it looked to me like a very, very fair fight, very, very even matchup. But Tennessee won the game.
Yeah, and the big surprise for me is the scoreline, 31-27. When you think about Will Muschamp, usually his teams struggle on offense, and defensively they're pretty sound. And Tennessee found a way in the back half of 2019 to score some points.
And, of course, we've already talked about Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. And neither one of us saw very much of Alabama-Missouri. That game was on. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it because Alabama came out and seized control.
Right.
Midway through the second quarter, the issue has been decided, and I thought that the points that Missouri scored at the end were largely cosmetic.
They were cosmetic, and A&M Vandy was on at the same time, so I watch that one.
Back to the phone lines, 499-9898 is the number. Josh is in Baton Rouge. Josh, welcome into the Tiger Zone.
Thank you. Good evening, gentlemen. Two questions. I really need an answer on both, please. Gordy, I wonder if you talked to Skip or if we could hear from Skip about the buffet at Tiger Stadium. Please, please, please. And also, I saw Siaki Ika really do damage in the first quarter or first half, so much so that he was so aggressive to where I think that guard, like, let him just bull forward and let him fall on his face. But, man, he blew up the guys a la Glenn Dorsey. So, wondering how he's looking and the tackle position overall, the two tackles is looking, but especially Ika, and also I'd like to hear from Skip. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks. I'll let Skip talk in a second. The tackle position, I like Ika. I think he's a good player. I think he'll get better the more he plays. No Glenn Logan.
Right.
And, you know, when they put Neil Farrell in the game, he makes two plays immediately. And then they give a close-up on it and say, here's Neil Farrell, 320 pounds. If he's 320 pounds, I'm a figure skater, okay? He's a big, big man. This is what happens when you're out of the program for a month. He's out of shape. Now, when he's in there, he can make plays, but you can't count on him at this point for, I wouldn't think, extended snaps. That'll come as the season goes along.
Not in that game.
No.
With that tempo and all the above. Look. No. It's hard to grade the defensive linemen in this game because they didn't play.
Right.
I mean, you played dime. You played nickel. I think Jacoby Stevens had more snaps as a three tech than any other defensive lineman on the field, you could argue.
And give them credit. Right? They're the number one rush defense in the country, right?
Yeah. 9 yards. I gave somebody.
D-line did something good.
I gave somebody a game ball, and I said, you know, best rushing defense, and had to be one of the top defensive performances in school history against a run.
Greg is in Mississippi. Greg, welcome into the Tiger Zone.
Ooh, you forgot me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead to Greg.
We'll
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
All right, guys. I always enjoy calling you in. Now that Leach has got his win, I want to know what's the revised potential win-loss total for State this year. I took them at the casino. It was only 4.5.
Oh, wow.
But right now, I would think, wouldn't you think maybe A&M and Auburn both being in Starkville would be probably toss up such advantage, maybe State. I don't know about Georgia and Alabama, but maybe 7-3 for Leach. And wonder why people wouldn't look at the Washington film against Washington State, even if you went back to Oklahoma because they have success with them. They were running the same plays. I'm just curious what you're thinking. You got Brulé from your back boys down there in New Orleans. How did he get out in LSU and get him? Because he was huge on Saturday.
Yeah,
you guys have a great show.
Thank
Appreciate you,
Greg. Rummel guy. You're not the only person to ask me that. They liked other guys better is all I can tell you. Arkansas should be a win. Missouri should be a win.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt should be a win. You're not going to win in Tuscaloosa. You're not going to win in Athens. So your toss-up games are Kentucky, A&M, and Ole Miss. And I would even say Auburn at home. I think they've got a chance to win. So I got you with three sure wins, two sure losses, and four other games that are 50-50. So if you take half of those, what does that get you to? That gets you to six.
Yeah, six or seven.
Yeah,
I think we're. I'm interested to see. I don't think we'll see till week three. They go to Kentucky and how A&M, Alabama, and 4 and 5 they're going to defend them. I think they're obviously going to learn some lessons from this past week and let's see. And I think I'm still not sold on Mississippi State defensively. And I don't think they're terrible. Don't get me wrong, but this isn't the group that had Sweat in two years ago where they statistically, were fantastic. And it's going to be hard for them to be statistically great with that offense because they're going to score points and they're going to run tempo and all the above.
There was a buffet?
Ooh, look, COVID. there's no buffet, Ron. I'm looking for rants. Ooh, there's no buffet right now because of COVID. Everything's prepackaged.
So get a little bit of a discount, right? Bob is in Baton Rouge. Bob, welcome into the Tiger Zone.
Yes, I had a couple questions for you guys. So talking about going far with college football, so it affects LSU. So what do you guys think about the 10-game SEC schedule and then how it affects the college football playoff?
Oh, wow. Thanks, Bob. We could do a whole week's worth of shows on how it affects the college football. I know this, that the commissioners of the ACC and the SEC are already laying the seeds of we playing more games and that should count when the playoff comes around. And I would be doing the same thing. Now, if Ohio State takes their 8 games and wins them by a margin of 25, then it's not going to matter if somebody out of the SEC went 10-1, maybe lost in the SEC championship game. They're not going to get in over an undefeated Ohio State, but they might get in over a Pac-12 team that goes 7-0. I would hope that they would, but you don't know. You'd think that the Big 12 champion right now, from what I've seen from Texas and Oklahoma, which is supposed to be the class of that league, the Big 12 champion is probably going to have 2 losses, whoever that ends up being. So, man, it can go a lot of different ways, but I think number of games should definitely count. It should matter.
All bets are off this season. I'm
speculating. I don't know for sure.
Look, we had an NFL game cancel this week, right? Is everybody going to get the same equal number of games? And there's so much this year, the expect the unexpected, right?
Thousands of fantasy football commissioners are trying to figure that out right now.
Here's the deal, though, but I'm with you. By the way, I need to go get Derrick Henry off of fantasy. I have him. I'm actually playing fantasy this year.
So are you going to – if they play on Monday or Tuesday, is he going to count towards this week?
I don't know. Marty, where are they playing this week?
Yeah.
All right. That's why I'm going to watch.
Yahoo's made a ruling?
Okay. Dear Mr. Right. Fantasy.
Dear Mr. Fantasy.
Yes, right. I am. Finish. Okay. Next. But I do think it changes, Charlie. And I think the landscape's going to change dramatically and that it's going to – the TV's going to want to play the hits, and the hits are the top 5 conferences. And so what happens to your FCS your subdivision and all that stuff.
So if he's asking if moving forward, the 10-game SEC schedule this year is done out of necessity, is that going to be something moving forward? I'll tell you that a 9-game SEC schedule is not something that I'm in favor of because I don't like the imbalanced schedule. But it's going to depend on one thing, whether it's 9 games, 8 games, 9 games, or 10 games, and that's money.
Right.
So what these teams have sacrificed is non-conference pay games where they're paying a team to come in where they can rake a full gate. And they rake in a full gate even if they don't have a full stadium because the tickets are sold. The seat licenses are sold. You know, I mean, you're going to take a little hit in concessions when you play Utah State, but you're still going to make all of your donation money from your seat licenses and all of your ticket sales. ESPN or somebody has to come in and make it worth their while and come in and say, listen, we can sell more if we play two more SEC games every year, mm-hmm. and we can make it financially worth it your while to play that, so we don't have to play all of the Auburn-Akron games. We don't have to play the LSU-Texas San Antonio games. If they can make that work, then one day that may grow some legs. And maybe they look at it this year. Maybe at the end of 10 games, the coaches look at it, and the coaches have, for the most part, been against this because they can get to 8 games and then get to the playoff and then get to a good bowl game and all that stuff. If you do this, you're just going to create job security problems. That's why the only guy that's come out publicly for it is Saban, who has no job security issues at all. You're going to have to put it in front of athletic directors and school presidents, and you're going to have to say two things. Number one, you can make more money doing this, mm-hmm. and number two, you can do it safely. So if they get through this year and they go, hey, you know what, not all that bad, and we generated more interest, and now we can generate more revenue, and let me tell you something, every athletic program in the Southeastern Conference, nay, in the country, is going to be looking for more revenue come 2021. They're already doing that.
No question.
So if you're ESPN and you can make a deal to make that worth their while to where they can start to recoup some of their losses from this year, then, yeah, I think it's on the table. Without it, if it's just you saying, hey, it's a competition thing, then it's dead on arrival.
Whose TV contract's up right now being negotiated?
CBS.
Right.
You got 3 years left on it, but they're willing to jump out early.
Right.
So that's the big one.
And so Disney, ABC, mm-hmm. looking, right? Yeah. They're looking for this and that. Now they've got the Premier League and the SEC that's sitting there. Now's the time for the discussion, and I'm just with you. What happens to a TV show that's on Thursday nights that has crappy ratings?
It gets canceled.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to see LSU Texas San Antonio?
Nobody. The Texas San Antonio parents and the parents of the backup players for LSU, because they're going to get they're going to get in the game. NBA ratings through the bubble are down.
Right.
Okay. Major League Baseball ratings. Not there, okay? The NFL ratings, I'm still kind of in a wait and see on that one.
I am too.
They're up right now, but when we put people back in the stands and that little bump goes away, we'll see what those ultimately, I think the NFL ratings will be fine. But did you see the rating that LSU and Mississippi State
did
on Saturday afternoon? And it's not LSU-Alabama, and it's not Florida-Georgia, it's not Auburn-Alabama, it's LSU-Mississippi State. Oof. And it's like, it's this monster number. So if they look at that and go, man, we want more of this and less of that.
Absolutely.
And we're willing to pay for it.
That's right.
And you get through you get through 10 games and you get a group of athletic directors that said, "Eh, not that bad. I'm willing to take a check."
With you 100%.
Take a break. We'll be back. This is the Tiger Zone on Eagle 98.1.
Ascension Equipment and Rental, your local John Deere and Kubota dealer with a huge inventory of tractors, lawnmowers, and accessories for your lawn. Ascension Equipment also has rental equipment, and they service what they sell. Ascension Equipment and Rental in Gonzales. Save more today and mow tomorrow. Feeling lucky? Now you can feel even safer playing at NBC. Visit Magnolia Bluffs Casino and Hotel in Natchez, where the safety of our guests and staff is our top priority. Now's the time to rake in the cash by winning a share of $40,000 on Saturdays in September and October. $40,000. Two lucky winners each hour, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. There's nothing like winning on the Bluffs. We're open and ready for you, the closest sportsbook to Baton Rouge. Come enjoy a state-of-the-art sportsbook where everyone is treated like a VIP. Remember, at Magnolia Bluffs, it's not what you play, it's who you play with.
Contacting your workers' comp carrier shouldn't be a painful process.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Ugh. Please re-enter your policy number or say representative.
Representative.
Ugh.
At Luba, we don't have robots answering our phones. We have humans, like Lisa.
Thank you for calling Luba Workers' Comp. How may I help you?
Answering your call is just the first of many ways we set ourselves apart. Visit lubawc.com to experience the Luba difference.
Hey there. As you're driving right now, take note of the vehicle in front of you. Are you a safe distance behind? Are you approaching too fast? Can you stop in time if a collision is about to happen? There's a lot to keep track of in order to drive safely. That's where the 2020 Chevy Equinox can help you with automatic emergency braking with forward collision alert, now standard on all 2020 Equinox models.
See your Super Chevy dealers today. Driver is responsible for operating the vehicle in a safe manner at all times. Certain conditions may affect feature performance. See owner's manual for important limitations and information.
When you've been in the industry for over 20 years, you learn a few things. For one thing, you learn your product inside and out. But you also learn how to ask the right questions and give satisfying answers. Jim's Firearms.
I'm here to translate for a beautiful lab mix named Maggie. She's adopted. Maggie wants to tell you about Bob's for Dogs from Skechers. Maggie says that for every pair of Bob's sold, Skechers will make a donation to the Petco Foundation. And that they've already saved over 1 million sheltered pets, including dogs. And now you can find Bob's at over 500 Petco stores. Thanks, Maggie. Bob's for Dogs from Skechers. Available at Petco, Skechers, and wherever stylish shoes are sold.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So, traffic has been crazy lately, right? And rush hour? Forget it. Nobody wants to let you merge onto the highway. But hey, somebody let you merge or you wouldn't be there. So, drivers who switch to Progressive could save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-384-3434. 800-384-3434. 800-384-3434.
Eagle 98.1.
Tiger Zone on Eagle 98.1. Let's get to the schedule here real quick, and we'll turn it over to dear Mr. Fantasy. South Carolina at Florida Gators, 17.5 at home.
I like the Gators. Yeah. Gators are powerful right now.
Good. Tennessee at home against Mizzou. Vols 11.5.
No feel. Didn't see Missouri. I don't think I've seen Missouri since they played in the SEC, except the year they played here.
That seems a little bit much to me, but probably
that
not,
SEC
not a strong
championship
film.
One year. Two times I've seen them play.
A&M at Alabama tied 17.5-point favorite.
Got to go Alabama. I mean, A&M, not an impressive debut.
Kellen Mond looks the same. He looks.
Kellen Mond's had one good game in his career, and that was a 7-overtime game.
And even some of those calls were a little bit dubious. Ole Miss at Kentucky. This to me is, other than Auburn, Georgia's the most intriguing game of the weekend.
Wow, Ole Miss is going to score points, right?
Kentucky 6.5 at home, I'm sorry.
I kind of like Ole Miss on catching those points.
I kind of like the over. I'm an Ole Miss over
with you.
Guy.
Ole Miss is not good on defense, right?
So Auburn and Georgia. Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite. We think JT Daniels in this game to start.
Give me Auburn. Georgia's going to be one-dimensional on offense. I like Kevin Steele, at least keeping this game close.
Catch the points, yeah. Georgia to win it by a field goal, maybe.
I'll take that.
Reasonable. Arkansas at Mississippi State. Bulldogs an 18-point choice.
Get a good look at Arkansas, but obviously State. You know, we've seen what they can do on offense.
They ran out of gas. They're competitive in the first half. Ran out of juice. They don't have a lot of weapons on offense. And LSU is a 20-point favorite against Vanderbilt, which
can't bet on that.
Take your best choice. State and Sports Bar and Grill at LaBerge. Monday nights half off margaritas, draft beer, and nachos. Thursday nights buy one tower beer, get one tower free. 25% off lunch and dinner Monday through Thursday at the Bonton Buffet and Stadium Sports Bar and Grill for veterans of the military, active military, and those over 50 years of age. 25% off lunch special there. And all new My Choice members starting tomorrow get their choice of free slot play, a free bet, or free food credit in the first 48 hours. For Brittany and Abby running the board, for Playboy Marty, for Gordy Rush, I'm Charles Haniger saying thank you and good evening. Stay tuned on YouTube for Dear Mr. Fantasy. This has been the Tiger Zone on Eagle 98.1.